as we near Christmas, I think about the people who are going through something less than cheery, especially this year. The holidays are extra tough on people who have lost someone dear to them. As always, I hope my stories let you relax and forget about whatever you may be going through, even just for a couple minutes. It may come through to a surprise for a lot of you, but this murder mystery game goes a couple hundred deep, so you're definitely not alone. Allow me to transport you to Christmas Eve in the year 1945 to a small town called Fayette, West Virginia. Fayetteville. A small town full of spirit in a very tight-knit community. Everyone was in their homes that night, just celebrating the upcoming holidays. Nothing was different for anybody, especially not in the Sauter family home of 10. Actually, it was just 9 kids. George and Jenny's kids were just playing the usual stuff, you know, playing, singing holiday music and exchanging gifts. Their oldest son was actually fighting World War II, so there was only 9 of the kids there. The youngest kids, Martha, Ginny, Benny, Maurice, and Louis, all begged their mother to stay up a little bit later, and she finally caved in as long as they tended to their farm animals in exchange to stay up later. Ginny then heard the phone ring upstairs.
Hello.
She heard a woman that she's never ever heard of before. The woman asked for someone that Jenny didn't know, so Jenny just said, "I'm sorry, you have the wrong phone number," and just hanged up. So she then went downstairs to the living room and found one of her oldest daughters, Marianne, asleep on the couch. Everything seemed normal. She didn't see the younger kids, so she just assumed they didn't want to tend to the animals and just went upstairs to the attic to sleep. So then she herself just went to bed thinking, well, you know, everybody's asleep. Let me just go to bed. An hour later, she awoke to a strange noise around midnight. Something hard was hitting the roof. She laid awake and she tried to decipher what that could be. But after hearing no further noise, she just fell back asleep. She then woke up again. But this time, smoke filled the room. She woke up George, the dad, and her older kids attempting to flee the home. They called to the younger kids in the attic, but could no longer go up because of the flames. They called and called, but to no avail, no one responded. The family immediately attempts to call the fire department, only to find that their landline was dead. George, the father, ran outside and decided to grab his ladder to rescue the younger children from the second floor, only to find that the ladder was no longer in its usual place against the house. Thinking quickly, he figured he could drive his truck to the window and climb on top of his truck and reach his children, only to find that his truck was dead. Marianne ran to the neighbors to use her phone, but they could also not reach anybody. A neighbor saw the flames and again could not get through to anyone on the phone. At this point, the remaining family members watched helplessly as their home and children were burned to the ground. The firefighters arrived the next morning as everything was completely burned. The children were presumed dead, and George bulldozed the home and set up a memorial for his kids. Investigators told the family that the reason for the fire was faulty wiring in their Christmas lights. But the family distinctly remembers when the fire started and they went downstairs that their Christmas lights were on. So I'm no electrician here, but if they have caused the fire, wouldn't have then, like, the bulbs exploded or something and they would have been out, but the family distinctly remembers the Christmas lights still being on. And remember how the father, George, helplessly tried to reach his younger kids? The father always kept his ladder propped up against the home. They ended up actually finding that ladder, an embankment, near the home. So someone purposely had moved it, of course. The telephone repairman later told the Sauter family that the phone line was cut. But remember how Jenny answered the phone, like, right before bed? So it was like an hour between midnight and 1 a.m. when the fire started, that someone had purposely cut the telephone line and tampered with it so no one around them could reach the fire department on time. Someone later came forward and told police that they had seen a man walking around holding a block and tackle, which was used to remove engines, which could explain why George's truck would not start when he attempted to use it to save his kids. Jenny, the mother, had found kitchenware that was still intact at the fire scene. She contacted a crematorium who explained that a two-hour fire at about 2,000 Fahrenheit would have left bones still, which they had never found. It was then when the family started a campaign to look into that night. Till this day, this mystery has fascinated America ever since. So they never found any remains of Martha, Jenny, Betty, Maurice, and Lewis. So the parents obviously thought something happened to them because they obviously, if there was proof that they passed away that night, they would have found bones, they would have found something. Because Jenny, the mother, found kitchenware that was still intact. So if, you know, kitchenware was still there, bones would have surely been there. Something would have been there from her kids. So it's pretty clear at this point that someone else had been involved. But who would want to harm this family and potentially kidnap their children? George and Jenny both believe that the Sicilian Mafia was actually behind all of this. George, being an immigrant from Italy, had a very outspoken opinion against the fascist government back home. Other people said potentially alarming things to them, like a couple days prior, an insurance agent attempted to sell George a policy. But when George rejected, the salesman said to him, "Your goddamn house is going up in smoke, and your children are going to be destroyed. You will pay for the remarks you have made about Mussolini." And given what had happened in the next couple days, it could have been just an angry salesman who really needed a sale, or was it something more sinister behind it? Was it someone that actually was a part of the Sicilian Mafia? The children noticed a couple days prior as well that two men had been watching them walking home from school. But the Italian Mafia was known to extort money from the kidnapped victims' families. The family never received any phone calls, but I personally assume if that was done taking their children and burning down their home was done as a punishment, they weren't exactly gonna be like, "Hey, we have your kids," you know. They were gonna keep their kids or do something else with the kids, and, you know, as a punishment, they'll never know what happened to their kids. But the family asked the FBI to help, and the FBI actually told them no. So they hired a private investigator, C.C. Tinsley. Very much holiday tree decoration. Tinsley discovered that the salesman was actually a member of the coroner's jury that had basically blamed the fire on faulty wiring. He had also discovered that the head fire chief told a priest that he had discovered a heart on the scene, which he then buried in a ammo box and just buried on, like, the rubble of the home. So they went in and actually found the box, but after they opened it in further investigation, it turned out just to be a beef liver, completely untouched by the fire. Rumors had reached the family that the fire chief had just in fact buried the beef liver and hoped that the family would drop the accusations that someone had kidnapped their children, which is super shitty, of course. And everybody basically told the family that it was hopeless, that they died that night on the fire, to give up and just like close the case on this poor family. The family, however, was still trying to find out the truth. Father even offered up a reward of $10,000 for information leading to the children, which, given the year and all that, it would be up to like $100,000 today. George would travel around following different leads, but obviously they always turned up empty. 20 years after the fire, Jenny received an envelope addressed to her only. It was coming from Kentucky. The envelope had a photo of a man in his mid-20s. He had a strong resemblance to one of her younger sons, Lewis, who was 9 at the time of the fire that had disappeared. Written on the back of the photo was, "Lewis Sauter, I love brother Frankie," along with some coded numbers and letters. After receiving the letter, they hired a PI again, but the PI failed to find the sender of the letter. George did an interview in 1966 at age 71, pleading to the public to know what happened to his children on that day. He said if his kids did in fact pass away that night, that he wants to be convinced that happened. Mother Jenny lived the rest of her isolation, wearing black ever since the day of the fire, hoping she would find out what happened that day after the fire until the time of her passing in 1989. The last surviving Sauter child is around 77, 78 now, and also firmly believes that her siblings were taken and not perished during the night of the fire. It's been 75, soon to be 76 years since the fire happened. And although clear to us and to the family back then, foul play is obvious. I hope that there's some sort of crack or clue before the last sibling passes away. All these years with no answer must have been torture for the parents, especially with so many officials and people who should have been there for them, turned their backs, and even misled them. So that's why my theory that, I mean, I guess it could be the Sicilian Mafia, because this was meant as a punishment because, you know, they said some things about Mussolini and it, you know, obviously they didn't like that. So their punishment would be to never know what happened to their kids. Because I just don't, you know, who moved their ladder? Someone moved their ladder. Someone cut the phone lines. Someone had obviously intentionally started the fire. And if she found kitchen utensils, she would have found bones of her children. But, you know, and also the fact that the kids never called down to the parents when the fire started. Like, that was a whole, like, you know, distraction so that they could take the kids and they would be focused on the fire and not the fact that their kids were completely missing from the house. So I'm curious as if the kids are still alive, why they had not reached out to their parents. So obviously, you know, they probably are threatened or something, but it's been so long ago that either they just don't care or it's just so much time has passed that they figured it's best to stay where they're at. I mean, I'm not sure, they would be pretty old by now. No idea of like the fucked up shit they lived through. Or they could have perished the night of the fire and they passed out from the fumes or something and just burned down with a home. I mean, we will never know. Before this goes any longer, just wishing a happy holidays for you all and a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, guys. Keep it groovy.